worthy, 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 worthy. Oh, bring us to the end of ourself, Master. Bring us to the end of ourself, that we may be one with you. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound. As we repent and ask for your forgiveness of every stupid thing we've done that's offended you, in every area of disobedience and rebellion, in every work of the flesh, we ask for your forgiveness. Wash us with the blood, Master. Wash us with the stripes of healing and fill us that we are one with you. Open eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to receive. Loose us from the bonds and entanglements and affairs of this world, that we may be in the warfare that is pleasing to you. And grant us the strength to say yes to you and the power to say no to temptation, that we may fulfill the will of you and receive the promise and bring you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
1 John chapter 2, verse 18. As a man sows, so he shall reap. It's amazing how people still don't get it. You know, when we come together, this is not entertainment time. This is honor and reverence and respect time to the King of Glory. One of the things the enemy does not want you to do is sow. It's amazing how when we were in a world, we'd fight for the dope, for the opposite sex, and for the money. But yet, many people still will not fight for the presence of God, which is life. It's life. That's his life. And without his life, you and I can't live. And the only way you access is by your mouth. Prayer, praise, and worship, and proclamation. So don't let the enemy put your sock in your mouth, because it will stink. One of the things the Bible says is dancing. Dancing. Whoa, man, come on. People used to go out there, disco duck and everything else. They'd bump each other and shake whatever they had to shake. They'd get really foolish out there. It was like a opposite sex ritual to draw them. But yet in the presence of God, to fight for the presence of God, people just stand still. You know, there's a war going on. And I want you to understand this. I mean, a war. People are dying and going to hell daily. Daily. And why has God rescued you? Me. Not to fill churches and not to keep pews warm. Your call is to battle. Your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. And your destiny is to use the talents that he's given you to infiltrate the world system. Don't lose sight of that. Because when you lose sight of that, you lose. That's when the enemy steps in. He knows, because he knows what you think. He knows your thoughts. It's amazing in how many places I've been to, and they say, "Oh, the devil doesn't know my thoughts." Well, you're an idiot. You're spiritually blinded. Everybody has that fight in their thoughts. Who do you think wants you to disobey? Who convinces you not to sing? Who convinces you not to dance? Who convinces you not to obey? That voice that's within you is the voice of the stranger. You're to discern what he says. You're to discern the fruits of what he says. And if you're not in the battle, you become a casualty. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have a what? An anointing. From the Holy One, and you know what? All things. All things. All things. So, listen, if you have the anointing, you want to maintain the anointing, don't you? That's why you want to praise and worship. That's why you got to open your mouth. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Well, if you're allowing the anointing to manifest in your life, you're going to know. So if you're not praising and worshiping, obviously you're not allowing the anointing to teach you. Something's not right. And now what's happened is you're allowing the enemy to bring you under the world system belief that says, my will, not God's will. Oh, God knows my heart. Yes, he does, and he's trying to expose it today. I have not written you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Jesus is the anointed one and his anointing. Do you know that when you disobey, you deny? When we choose not to do the will of God, we do the will of Satan. And that means what we're saying is we're denying Christ. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let this abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also abide in the Son and in the Father. How do you abide in Him? Through the anointing. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. How many of y'all know there's a voice that wants to deceive you? But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone, what? Teach you or tell you if you're allowing the anointing to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it taught you, you will abide in Him. Him, Him, Him is an anointing. Him is the anointing. Without the anointing, you and I are nothing. There is an anointing matter going on here, I can tell you that. You know, David, King David, who was young, was anointed king. But he didn't fulfill kingship yet. But there's somebody he had to go. Just like Jesus, when he was anointed, he had to go in the wilderness and stand before the enemy. Before he could go stand before man. Are you listening? He could not, if Jesus didn't defeat the enemy, he couldn't go stand before men. It's amazing. People run from the devil and then they try to get before men. When they can't even overcome the devil. Hello? But they want to go preach and teach and do all kinds of stuff when they can't even overcome themselves. Hello? Well, before King David could fulfill kingship, he had to do the same thing. He had to meet a demon called Goliath. Hello? And Goliath showed up with all kinds of worldly possessions. Sword, shield, big helmet, full armor of the devil. And he started cursing David. Said, I'm going to kick your whatever. And David said, man, you come with swords and spirits and demons. But I come in the name of the Lord. And today I'm going to have your head. Because I've been anointed. Now you got to understand that Goliath's sword was mighty heavy. Most of those guys couldn't even pick it up. And so David took a stone, there was five stones he picked up in representation of the fivefold ministry. And he caught Goliath right between the eyes, the only open place that he was opened where there was no covering. bullseye, demon eye. And Goliath fell out, and David walked up to him, took his sword, and cut his head off. And all the Philistines booked. I mean, they ran. See, David was upset because this Philistine demon was defiling the armies of God. And no one was willing to die. But David was. You know why? Because he was anointed. See, the anointing in an individual's life is shown by that person willing to die. Jesus was anointed. That's why he was willing to die. But if you can't overcome the devil, if you can't overcome self, how can you stand before men? Hello? And the anointing teaches you it is an anointing matter, because the word says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the anointing. So there is an anointing matter. Now we'll go to some notes. Praise God. Glory. Turn to Revelation 12. Oh, the glory. Revelation 12. In verse 13. Tonight's teaching is called Liberating the Weapons of God. Liberating the Weapons of God. Revelation 12 and verse 13. Is everybody there? Let's read this. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Now again, there's multiple meanings in this. The woman, of course, we know was Mary. The woman is also Israel, but the woman also represents the body of Christ, the bride. And we know that the child was Christ, Jesus. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nursed for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. Now, this is so powerful because it's prophetic. In this, I really believe it's talking about the rapture of the church, which will, and I really believe that the church will be raptured in mid-tribulation. But I'm not a mid-trib or whatever, you know, I'm just saying that this is what I believe. According to the scriptures, many people believe it's going to be before him. Many people be after, but I don't really care. But this is, I'm just stating something because this is something I believe. Believe me, I will not be disappointed if we are not raptured in mid-tribulation. Hallelujah. But the tribulation is 7 years, 3.5 years means mid-tribulation. And the two wings is a representation of Moses and Elijah, which is the transfiguration. And we're not going to get into all that tonight. Hallelujah. In verse 15, so the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. The woman here now is the bride of Christ. You'll see why. And he went to make war with the rest of her what? Offspring. Who keep the commandments of God and have the what? Testimonies of Jesus Christ. Well, are you the offspring of the eternal one? Amen. So guess who's after you? Come on, I just said it. He's enraged with you. That's why the Bible says make no place for the devil. He's enraged with you. You can't pet him. And you can't feed him. In other words, we have a spiritual fight in a physical world. Does everybody see it? We have a spiritual fight in a physical world, don't we? So the enemy's always going to try to get you to focus on the physical or the flesh instead of the spiritual. That's how he gets us. Romans 7. Romans chapter 7. Verse 15. Romans 7:15. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin, or the presence of evil that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin, which is the presence of evil, that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Warring against what? The law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. In other words, trying to bring you back into the presence of evil. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So he's talking about the anointing that's able to separate. The anointing that's able to separate these things. Why? Because the anointing teaches you. Remember, the fight is in the mind. Sin is in the flesh, warring against the law of the spirit of the mind. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. Liberating the weapons of God. That means freeing them. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The Bible says that the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 3. For though I walk in the flesh, I do not war according to the flesh. Remember, we are in a spiritual battle in a physical world. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal or physical, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, a stronghold is a memory lie, something you've agreed with, either past or present. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God or the will of God, and bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of the anointing or Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is what? Fulfilled. Your obedience is to activate the weapons of God. Are you listening? Your obedience is to activate the weapons of God. That's how you are obedient. When you activate the weapons of God, you are bringing punishment on the powers of darkness. Isaiah 11. So whose responsibility is it to activate the weapons of God? Ours. Isaiah 11. In verse 2. Now that we are the offspring of the Eternal One, the same thing that was spoken about Jesus will be spoken about you. He says, the Father has given me all things, and I have given them to the Spirit, and the Spirit has given them to you. So in verse 2, it says that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, but the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon who? Say me. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight, my delight, is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge. In other words, you will not judge. Hello? By what? Sight of your eyes. Nor decide by the what? Hearing of your ears. Come on, are you getting this? This is called the seven attributes of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And this is the second chamber of the tabernacle. That's where the seven golden lampstand is. He has seven lamps in it. It is the second chamber of the tabernacle, and that's where priesthood is being fulfilled. This happens when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Everybody okay? So, your delight is going to be in the fear of the Lord. You will not judge by the sight of your eyes, nor decide by the hearing of your ears. But with righteousness you shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. You shall strike the earth with the rod of your mouth. With the what? Rod of your mouth. And with the breath of your lips, you shall what? Slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of your loins, and faithfulness the belt of your waist. This is to be you because you are to be in the image and likeness of Christ. Are you listening? These are the seven attributes of the Holy Spirit. After the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is the second chamber of the tabernacle. The anointed word will strike the earth with the mouth. The breath of your lips or the word spoken through you will slay the wicked. How is the wicked slayed? By the breath of your mouth. Not by your thoughts, not by feeling, not by hearing, not by seeing, but spiritual righteousness is how you will decide. You will judge by spiritual righteousness. This is us. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. He's sitting next to the Father and in the eternal realm. We are here on the earth, but we're to be one with him, aren't we? So as he thinks, we should do. As he thinks, we should do. Why? Because we should all be like-minded in the Spirit with the mind of Christ. Luke 10. Liberating the weapons of God. Luke 10. In verse 17. Everybody there? Let's read it. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Man, you go to some places, you mention demons, and people run. I mean, they even knew it here. Look at it. These were 70 of the disciples that went out, Jesus, because now they were covered because Jesus was on the earth. So when Jesus said to them, go, they were covered. The anointing was backing them. Do you understand that? They didn't need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But he used to tell them a lot, man, you still don't get it yet? He said, well, listen, I got a lot of things to tell you, but I can't tell you because you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost. But I can send you out with some power. I can send you out to raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils. You might not get it, but I can send you out with it. So they came back rejoicing, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. This is awesome. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the what? The enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. See, Jesus was, to him, it was like, this is cool, I know, but look, there's something really exciting. You're going to live with me the rest of your life. But there's something else exciting. You ain't going to be like this when you live with me. You're going to be like me. We'll be like-minded. I ain't going to put up with your flesh. I mean, you know, he used to rebuke his disciples. You know, man, you still ain't get it yet. How long do I have to put up with you guys? Hallelujah. So authority, God has given us authority to trample serpents and scorpions and power over the enemy. But it's amazing how the devil deactivates the weapons of God and the children of God. He deactivates them. And when he deactivates them, he takes them. Hello? Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, I think everybody knows where that is. Every morning. Liberating the weapons of God. That means freeing them. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you be able to stand against the wiles or the trickeries of the devil. You know, he wants to always trick you because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy, doesn't he? One of the things he wants to do is deactivate your weapons. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Is it the evil day? Yeah. It's amazing how many people still don't put on the full armor of God. And if you ask them, they lie.
Yeah, I did.
And you see the tail stick out. The nose doesn't grow, the tail comes. People think I'm strange sometimes. They'll come up to me and go, because see, spiritually I can see. I see that tail. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, put in on a whole breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's what he says. See, it's amazing how many people are saying, oh, the devil told me. They get all frustrated. Well, did you put the full armor of God on? Well, maybe just the shoes. Listen, you're going into battle. You better put some battle clothes on. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That means praying in tongues, which is the seventh part of the full armor of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, backed by the anointing. It is the sword of the Spirit. Is it a weapon? Yeah. Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. Everybody there? In verse 1. Again, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. In other words, he was chauffeured there. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil. By who? The devil. He was tempted 40 days by the devil. Hello. Some people run when he comes one time. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. He was pulling out the sword of the Spirit. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. In other words, the weapons of God. Man shall live by the weapons of God. Man shall live by the what? Weapons of God. Does everybody got that? In other words, for you to maintain an eternal life, you must use the weapons of God. Man lives by maintaining. Your life is maintained in Christ by using the weapons of God. Hello. Did Jesus think him away? No, he spoke him away. In Luke 8. Verse 11, and we've come here before, but I want you to see something different. Now, the parable is this. So is the word of God a weapon? Yes. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the what? Word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So he comes and takes away the weapon. It's amazing how many places are not even giving God's people a weapon to use. They're preaching so much of the love of Christ, but they don't preach the judgment of Christ. Listen, I can't tell you about God's love without telling you about God's judgment. I can't tell you about heaven without hell. I can't tell you that you're going to tiptoe through the tulips and make it home without a fight. Jesus explained the weapons of God to his disciples. He taught them how to fight spiritually. Even when Peter pulled out a sword and cut a dude's ear off, he picked it up, slapped it back on his head, and said, Peter, you know better than that. And he didn't use super glue. It stayed right there. It was called a miracle. And it's amazing, these guys still didn't get it. The dude's probably walking home, my God, my ear was off and it was on the ground. He probably went home and told his wife and they wrote about it and it was probably found somewhere. You know, many of the writings that were found were written by many of the soldiers. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? So the devil comes to steal the weapon, doesn't he? But the ones on the rock are those, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. Who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. In other words, they get discouraged. Discouraged. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. This is when the enemy chokes the weapon. Has everybody got it? In other words, there's an area where he steals, he discourages, and he chokes, or he deactivates the weapons of God. He takes them. Listen, the first thing that, in a battle, the first thing you want to do is know the strategies of your enemy and disarm him. Has everybody got it? And that's what the devil is doing to God's people. And they do it to God's people. Let me share with you one of the quickest ways that will disarm you. Emotion. See, he wants to steal, discourage, and choke or deactivate the weapon of God. He does it by getting you in the soulish arena of emotion. If he can get you emotionalized, don't look that up in the dictionary. If he can get you in the soulish arena, you take your eyes off of everything and put them on you. And then he takes it. Is everybody all right? Oh, yeah. A strategy the devil uses to blind spiritual eyes to the power of the weapons that Jesus has provided. We must recognize that these weapons are to combat Satan's kingdom. But the devil steals, discourages, or chokes, causing captivity. He steals these things, and he takes these weapons and he puts them into captivity, into his own domain and rulership. And he locks them up. We then become slaves with no defense against his strategies. Again, the devil comes to steal your calling to battle, kill your purpose, which is to destroy Satan's kingdom, and your destiny, which is using your abilities and talents to infiltrate the world system. So without weapons, are you able to do that? No. No. He deactivates your weapons by bringing you to an emotional state of being. I'm telling you, when somebody gets emotionally offended, all kinds of stuff, man, they just crumble.
Here, take my weapons. Woe is me. It's all about me.
See, if he can get you in an emotional state of being, I have not seen anyone be able to fight when they are in that emotional state of being. So you can't allow them to get you there in the beginning. You should know it's coming. You know it. When you sense it, you know it, and you don't go there. Because you will surrender the weapons of God. That's why Jesus said, if they were with us, they would have stayed with us. The reason why they run is because they surrender the weapons, because the devil has gotten them in an emotional state of being.
I'm going to leave. I'm running from God. I'm going to leave. I'm going. That's it. Going back into the world. This is too rough for me.
Let me tell you another place that's rough. Hell. It's real rough. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 12. What's the devil trying to do? Get you into what? An emotional state of being. So why? You surrender your weapons. No fight. People cannot fight in that state of being. Do you understand that? They are disarmed. They become jello. And the devil chooses the flavor. Romans 8, 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of what? Bondage. Bondage again to what? Fear. Fear is the greatest emotional state of being you could be in. But you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, which means daddy. That's why he said, God did not give you the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Listen, it doesn't mean you're not going to go through stuff, but it does mean that you are not to get in such an emotional state to turn over the weapons of God, because the devil takes them and locks them up. Then you've got to get help to go liberate those weapons. You can't do it on your own. You need help. But here it is. Again, it's because an individual is not consistent or disciplined. Half steps. Becomes baby.
Oh, God's going to take care of me.
Yes, he is. He's going to show you what to do. That's how he takes care of you. So many people are angry with God. They can't understand why God didn't do something when he did. The thing is they missed it. Well, I can't believe God would let me go through this. He's not. That's the devil. Because the person is not cooperating. That's why you must work out your salvation. That means cooperate with God. And by using the Word of God, and by using the sword of the Spirit, and the weapons of God that he gave you, the blood, the Word, the name, the keys, bind and loose, by using these weapons. And knowing that if you're walking in the Spirit, you are his son, his children. You are able to see, you are able to hear, and you know what's coming. You know what's coming. And if you get attacked by surprise, you don't crumble. You get angry. Oh, you tricked me, you little foul, unclean, seducing spirit. But you can't outrun the sword of the Spirit. Hello. Everybody okay? Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Are you getting this? How does the devil steal your weapons? He gets you into what? Emotional state of being. You know why people commit suicide? Who are supposed to be spirit-filled believers? The devil gets them in an emotional state of being. They turn over to weapons and they want to kill themselves. Because that spirit of death comes. Make no place for the devil. Make no place. I said make no place. Don't make place. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Everybody there? Would you read it with me? For the word of God is what? Living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Whoa. So the word back by the anointing is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. That's a weapon. Remember, the devil's trying to steal the word. He's trying to prevent you from prayer, praise, and proclamation. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, for God has not given us a what? Spirit of emotion. Spirit of fear. You know what your emotions are? Peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That's what your emotions are. Woohoo! Doesn't mean that you're not going to mourn over something. You know, most people, when they lose a loved one or relative or whatever, they mourn over that. It's okay. You know, but if you're mourning for 14 years, something ain't right, man. And if you're not fighting to prevent, let me tell you, the devil would like to put you in that state of emotional state of being so that he can steal the weapons. You know, look at how many times that people have lost a loved one and then they get upset with God. Because they lost a loved one. Why didn't you heal her? Why didn't you heal him? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And then they quit following the Lord. You know why? Because they got an emotional state of being and the devil stole their weapons. Same thing with relationships. Oh, Lord, why'd you send me this idiot? Why'd you let me marry this bonehead? You know, people get all upset and get an emotional state of being. And they turn over the weapons of God and they stop following God. Then the next thing the devil's trying to do is cause that person to kill themselves. Hello? God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Fear is an emotional state of being. Why? Because fear, listen, self is the offspring of darkness. Pride protects self. Fear protects pride. Right? What protects fear? Anger. Hello. These are the will of Satan, and they deactivate the weapons. We must liberate the weapons of God by repentance, submission, and praise. And get back into the three P's, prayer, praise, and proclamation. But it starts with repentance. And let me share with you, it's difficult to do it on your own. You'll need help. That's why God has got the body of Christ. You'll need help. Repentance. Why? Because repentance activates the blood.
The devil hates the blood of Christ. Submission, you're now submitting to God. In praise, now you're praising Him because you've liberated the weapons of God. In Revelation 12, there is no excuse not to overcome temptation. There is no excuse. Hello? And there's no excuse that when you have been tempted to come out of it. Has everybody got it? There is no excuse. God has provided everything for us. The only responsibility that you and I have is to maintain relationship, be filled with the Spirit. Does everybody get it? Because by being filled with the Spirit, you'll maintain relationship. If the enemy can drain you and get you in an emotional state of being, that's why you never notice that when sometimes you're sick, you're fleshly.
And get away from me.
I don't like to be around no one when I'm sick. You can ask my wife that. But I know it. You know what I'm saying? I know it. I'm not going to get an emotional state of being. I just know I'm a little quick to respond. But I know it, so I get away from everybody because I don't want to get emotionally entangled, and I warfare. I thank God. I bind, loose, call fire down. I do everything I'm supposed to do. Watch a couple football games. You know, I got to rest too. You know, until I'm able to get strength again. But I'm not going to allow the devil to get me in an emotional state of being because I know he'll disarm me. And I cannot be disarmed because his desire is to kill me and you. He does not want you to fulfill the will of God. Is everybody okay? In Revelation 12 and verse 7, is everybody there? Let's read it together. And war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, the anointing, has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Where is he cast down to? The earth. Welcome to your neighbor. And they overcame him by the what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their what? Testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. See, so many people are still fighting for their life. They get caught up in the emotional state of being because they want to prove that they're right. They don't like to be offended. How dare you talk to me that way? Pride is a killer. Pride is a killer. That emotional state of being will cause you to turn over the weapons of God. The blood. The testimony. Why? Because they confess their sins and confess Jesus. Amen. Confession brings possession. And they didn't love their lives to death. So if an individual is not truly walking in the anointing, they're going to fight for their life. I had a gentleman tell me one day, you've caused me to do bitter. I thought, what did you eat? You caused me to do bitter. You caused me to bitter. Obviously, you didn't like what I said. Because I spoke the truth. But of course, he was trying to blame it on me to be bitter. He got an emotional state of being. Does everybody understand that? And instead of surrender the weapons of God. And by surrendering the weapons of God, things got worse. And that's when you just got to depart and let God be God. Because you cannot counsel a demon. Everything is twisted all the time. In James 4. Nobody can cause you to go in the flesh. Do you understand that? That's your choice. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Liberating the weapons of God. In other words, you want to free them up. So the devil's hands are no longer on it. James 4, 7. Would you read it with me? Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, if you cannot submit to God, it is impossible to resist the devil. You can't resist him. And you will get an emotional state of being, and you will surrender the weapons of God, and you'll be a blamer instead of a fighter. You'll be a user and a taker instead of a giver. Does everybody understand this? Come on, you've seen people get in that state of being. It's because they're not submitting to God. They're not submitting to what he's called to do. They're not submitting to what he's saying to do. They're not submitting. You know, so many times, you know, when we cry out for help, the answer usually comes through somewhere else. Hello. But you better discern where it's coming from. Now, I'm not going to, if somebody comes up to me with a bottle of wine and a cigar in their hand, and their name is Samuel, and he says, I have a word of the Lord for you, I'm going to tell him, I got a word for you. Hello. You know them by their fruits. I don't care who it is, I will not accept it if their fruit is not right. I don't care what they're, well, I don't care who they are. They could have been a pastor, a preacher for many years, and they've recently fallen. Or I know their fruits. I will not accept anything they have to say. And if that person hasn't been ordained by the Lord, I'll know. I won't accept anything they say. Are you listening? There is a process in divine order and the things that you and I must maintain. I cannot accept what anyone says unless they're right with God. Now, God can use anybody, amen? He can use anyone. He used a donkey, but the donkey was right with God. That donkey was not out sinning. He was in divine order. In fact, he tried to tell the dude he was carrying, yo, you see that angel going to cut you up. I've listened to a horse one time, but I'm not going in that story tonight. Nehemiah chapter 4. So if you cannot submit to God, you cannot resist the devil. It's impossible. Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. Everybody there? Anybody there? Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 7. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed that they became very angry. In other words, they would not have access. And all of them conspired again together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God and Because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore I positioned, say what, positioned, men behind the lower parts of the wall, at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the elders and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked on construction, while the other half held the spears and the shields and the bows and wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a what? Weapon. Hello. They were not going to be distracted. They were not only building, but one hand they were holding something for construction, and the other hand they were holding a weapon. That's called multitask. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. See, we cannot lay down those weapons either or ignore what's going on while we are busy doing something else. We cannot lose sight that there is a battle and the enemy wants to get you into an emotional state of being so you turn over your weapons and don't fight. Does everybody got it? Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Building the house of God as a body of Christ must continue with liberating not only the people that have been taken captive, but liberating the weapons of God that have been taken. And I want to close at 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. Is everybody there? But the end of all things is at hand, therefore be what? Serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as a good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached or insulted, hello, for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him and doing good as to a faithful creator. Now again, I want to share with you that there is a war going on. And in this, we are liberating the weapons of God. And by liberating the weapons of God, many people have been taken captive, or many people have just surrendered their weapons and then been taken captive. You cannot be taken in captivity without surrendering your weapons. Does everybody understand that? And in this war that's happening, I've been led to hand out prayers tonight, but I want you to repeat this prayer first and then pick it up on the way out. Because there's some damage that we have to do to the kingdom of darkness. And I believe that I've already seen many things happen with these prayers already. So would everybody repeat after me? Holy Father, I take my authority in the name of Jesus the Christ, and I ask that you would destroy every organization, terrorist cell group, and government globally that is coming against your will and persecuting your people. I ask also that you would destroy every Ponzi scheme, drug, human, and weapon smuggling organization, prostitution, pornography, and sodomite organizations, including all high places of Satan's altars globally. I call destructive fire down on all their gathering locations, propaganda, websites, media, communications, storehouses, and all financial support systems, bringing confusion into the enemy's camp and severing all financial support, communications, websites, gatherings, and agendas of any further operation in Jesus the Christ's name. I also loose all those that have been taken captive to the deception of these demonic influences in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, to God be the glory. Pick this prayer up on the way out. Let's kick some butt.